Today I talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. The moment we confess our sins and open our heart to believe Jesus Christ and invite Jesus Christ to enter into our heart, the Holy Spirit will dwell in our hearts. So we are marked with the Holy Spirit. We are marked with the Holy Spirit. That means we belong to God. That is the mark of ownership. We belong to God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed in the gospel, believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You are marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So we are marked with the Holy Spirit. Okay? We are marked with the seal. What's that seal? That's the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. So in verse 13, we are marked with the Holy Spirit. In verse 14, that Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, we are marked with the Holy Spirit. That means we belong to God. Chapter 1 verse 14, the Holy Spirit is a deposit that guarantees we inherit God's inheritance. That means without the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. You are not God's son. With the Holy Spirit, you belong to God. You are God's son. You are heir of God. And you're going to inherit God's possession. So the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing you inherit God's possessions. Without the Holy Spirit, you have no guarantee. With the Holy Spirit, you know for sure you're going to inherit God's possession. Okay, in chapter 2, we talk about, I go back to chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of revelation wisdom and understanding. That's why Paul prayed to God on behalf of the saint in Ephesus. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Holy Spirit is the spirit, is the spirit of revelation, is the spirit of wisdom. Without the Holy Spirit, we won't be able to understand God's word. With the spirit of revelation, spirit of wisdom and revelation, help us to know Him better. To know God better. I want to add one more point in here. You write beside Ephesians 1:17, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Every time when you hear the sermon from the pastor, every time when you have daily devotion, when you read the Bible yourself, it is the Holy Spirit that moves you and help you to understand God's word. Without the Holy Spirit helping you, you will not be able to understand God's word. So that's why every time when we read God's word, we quiet ourselves and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand Him, to know Him. I read that to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God say Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. When we read the Bible, the reason why we can understand God's word, it is because the Holy Spirit is moving you, leading you, guiding you, and helping you, enlighten you, and so that you'll be able to understand. So I show you how. Next time when you read the Bible, something you don't understand, you get a piece of paper, write down the question, okay? Thing that you don't understand. And then you try this. You try to use Ephesians 1:17. You pray to the Heavenly Father, the glorious Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, would you please help me to understand this portion of the scripture by the Holy Spirit? And I pray that you give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And then after you pray, you read it one more time. Lo and behold, He enlightened you. He hear your prayer. Okay? Try that. And if you still don't understand, next time bring that question to me. All right? Try that next week. See whether anything you don't understand, you ask God directly and see whether He help you. Okay? So the Holy Spirit not only help us to know Him, to know God, to know who? To know Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God say Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. if it is not the Holy Spirit who is moving you, who is enlightening you, who is enabling you, who is guiding you, helping you, no way you can say Jesus is Lord. And now that you can say Jesus is Lord, because it is the Holy Spirit who is moving you. Okay? You try to talk to your friend. Tell him that Jesus is Lord. He thinks that you are out of your mind, because he wasn't moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you are moved by the Holy Spirit, you will understand God's word. And if you are moved by the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 1:17, you will know him better too. You will know him more and more. The Holy Spirit start the work, enable you to understand God, understand Jesus Christ, who Jesus is. And later on, Holy Spirit will help you to know God better. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need it badly, okay? Point number four. Go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19 to 22. I read that to you. Consequently, you are no longer foreigner and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostle and prophet, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in him, in Jesus Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 21 means corporately. Verse 22 means individually. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. There is a few things that we need to know as a Christian. Corporately, the church as a whole need to be joined together and rises together to become a holy temple in the Lord. In other words, the entire church need to grow. How do I know whether the church grow spiritually? If they are filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't measure the church by quantity. We measure the church by quality. In here, in verse 21, in Jesus Christ, the whole building, the entire church, corporately is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. A holy temple is a place God lives by his Spirit. Verse 22, and in him, in Jesus Christ, you two individually are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now I want to stop here. How do we measure our own life? We measure our own life by how much do we yield to the Holy Spirit? Okay? We measure our maturity in Christ by how much do we yield to the Holy Spirit. The more you yield to the Holy Spirit, the more you look like Christ Jesus. In Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 34, Jesus Christ, the one who is sent by God the Father, and he preached the word of the Lord. On top of that, he was filled with the Holy Spirit without limit. It is our hope, according to the scripture, that God wants us to be like Jesus. Jesus Christ, the firstborn Son of God. And we are children of God. And God wants each and every one of us to follow the pattern of Jesus. Okay? Where does it say? It says throughout all the scripture. But I point out a few. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30. Those God foreknew, he predestined. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Though he justified, he glorified. I want to dwell upon verse 29. Those he predestined. Those he foreknew, he predestined. Predestined what? God has made up his mind. He wants each and every one of us to follow Jesus. That is the contract that he made with us. That is the new covenant. Okay? Moses, could you read that? Chapter 8, Romans 29 to 30.
For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
Talk about five things in here. First thing, God foreknew. Second thing, God's predestined. Predestined what? He wants us to be like Jesus Christ. He spelled out, do you want to follow me? Do you want to believe in me? That's the contract he make it with you. He wants you to be like Jesus. You say, yes, I want it. Then he call you. Point number three, God call you. Those he call, he justified. God justify you. He say, you are righteous. Though he justify, he glorify. So in other words, when we believe in Jesus Christ, that means we want to be like Jesus. We not only have eternal life. When God justifies you, you have eternal life. But when God glorify you, you will be rewarded of what you have done. Because when you carry the cross and follow Jesus Christ, he signed a contract. He spelled out the contract. He said, that is what I want you to do. Do you want to follow? He said, yes, I want to follow. Then he called you. Come and follow Jesus. Okay? I'll give you another illustration. Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter, and the last two verses, or the last three verses, starting from 18 to 20, all power, Jesus said, has been given unto me. All authority has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciple of all nations. He didn't say go and make believer of all nations. He said make disciple of all nations. What disciple means is he wants each and every one of us to be like Jesus Christ. He wants us to live a life in conformity with his firstborn son. Does that make sense? Joshua, do you understand? When God signed a contract with you in the new covenant, he didn't just give you eternal life. He expects you to be glorified, to be co-heir with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. If we are God's son, then we are God's heir. Co-heir with Christ. If we share in Christ's suffering, we share in his glory. And that is what he really means. But nowadays, a lot of churches, they only talk about believing in Jesus Christ, then you have eternal life. They only give you half gospel, and then you live your own way. And then you squander away like a prodigal son. Just go to the church. Sometimes a lot of people nowadays to go to the church without bringing Bible. They don't bring the pen. They don't jot notes. They don't know the Bible. Eventually when God sees them and Jesus says, I don't know you. Do you know me? They don't know Jesus either. You understand what I'm trying to say? The contract he has with you. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants you to be king like Jesus Christ. Do you remember what Jesus said in Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 10? The latter part of verse 10. The Son of Man came is to give you life and to have it abundantly. That means he wants you to be glorified. He wants you to reign with Jesus Christ. But we live our own life. Do you know why we live our own life? Because we live by the flesh. We don't live by the Holy Spirit. When he signed you the contract, Ephesians 1:13, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That means you are marked with Holy Spirit. That means you belong to God. From that day on, you don't belong to yourself. From that day on, you don't live for yourself. You live for Jesus. That is exactly what Romans chapter 14 is saying. None of us, we are God's son, none of us live for ourselves. We live for Jesus. If we die for Jesus. Why? For we belong to Jesus Christ. If I remember right, Romans 14, verse 7. Could someone read that? Christopher, could you read that? You catch a cold? You play in the snow a lot of the time, right? So, is Donald here? Donald, you read it. 7-9. Romans 14. Verse 7. If we live to the world, like we die, we die to the world. So whether we live or die, we belong to the world.
very reason Christ died and became right so that you might reap the reward of both living and dead.
So if we die for the Lord, live for the Lord, is Jesus Christ live for God and die for God? Is he? No, I'm asking. Is he? Is Jesus Christ die for God and live for God? Is he? And he signed a contract with us. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30, right? He said, that's the deal. I want you to be like Jesus. Yes or no? You say yes? Okay, I call you. I call you to be my son. And then you follow him, he justify you. And then at the end, he glorify you. That's the deal. Okay? And the Bible that I write it down here, I want you to memorize it so that you won't be deceived by false teacher. Okay? So it is the Holy Spirit that who dwells in us the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. Ever since then, we belong to God. Since then, we live for God, we die for God. Follow the very pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. He lived for God and died for God. Point number two, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Because we are God's son, you can be glorified by God. God's going to give you possession. You're going to inherit God's possession. Without the Holy Spirit, you get nothing. With the Holy Spirit, you have the sonship, and you also co-heir with Jesus Christ. Okay? Point number three, Ephesians 1:17, Paul saying, I keep asking the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that's why he glorified you. Right? He wants you to be like him. And how can I be like him? He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit and help you to understand what he expects of you so that you not only know him, you know him better. You know him better. God wants us to know him better. Does it make sense, Gabriel? Okay? Without the Holy Spirit, no way we can know him. Because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, when we hear the message, when we hear the word of Christ, we either accept or reject. But the Holy Spirit will move you. Say, Gabriel, believe in it. That will do you good. And if you yield to the Holy Spirit moving, you believe that Jesus is Lord, that means you're moved by the Holy Spirit. When you're moved by the Holy Spirit and open your heart, the Holy Spirit will enter into your heart and mark the ownership of our Lord Jesus. That means ever since then, you belong to Jesus. You are his sheep in his pasture. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong to God. And that's exactly what the Psalm 100 is saying. Know that the Lord is God. We are not our own in the original language, Hebrew. But the NIV say, we belong to the Lord. We belong to God. We are his sheep in his pasture. Okay? Okay, go back. Point number four, the work of the Holy Spirit. I talk about corporately The whole church has to be joined together and rises together to become a temple of God in the Lord. Individually, corporately, the church has to grow. Individually, you have to grow too. And how do we grow? I want you to write it down right beside Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First of all, you write down chapter 3, verse 16, 16 to 17. Paul saying that, don't you know that you yourselves, corporately, you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Corporately, we are the temple of God. And that's exactly what Paul's saying in chapter 2, verse 21. In him, the whole building, the entire church corporately, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in him, individually, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Then you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body, individually, is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So individually, we have to make sure the Holy Spirit fill your body. That means fill the temple of God. So it's not good enough to have Ephesians 1:13 and 1:14. Oh, I just believe in God. I'm marked with the Holy Spirit. And then I think I'm good to go. No, it's not good to go. Not good enough. We have to be what? It is Paul writing in Ephesians point number 4, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 21, talk about corporately the church, the entire church, corporately we are temple of God. How do I know that we are temple of God corporately? Because if that place are filled with the Holy Spirit, that place is the temple of God. Point number 5, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22. Individually, I'm sorry, it's not chapter 1. Chapter 2, right? How come no one correct me? Who care?
I'm scared.
Are you scared? Okay. Peace is ready.
No, it's not ready.
Not ready?
Not ready until 8:45, so keep going until I arrive.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 21, corporately we are temple of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 22, individually. We are temple of God too. Now, I want to tell you a secret. Before Paul talked about verse 21 and verse 22, what did he talk about? He talked about chapter 2, verse 20. What did he say in verse 20? We, corporately and individually, we are built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet, with Christ Jesus himself to be the chief cornerstone. Take a look at that. Assuming this is a temple of God, built upon the foundation, this is the foundation. What's the foundation? We are built upon the foundation. The foundation is the Word of God. In order for the temple, the building, the dwelling, a temple, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, your life has to be built upon the Word of God. If you do not know the Word of God, no way that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Forget about that. Why? Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63. What did Jesus say? The Spirit gives light. The flesh counts for nothing. The very word that I spoke to you is Spirit and is life. If you do not build your life upon the very Word of God, how can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Corporately and individually. You are joking. Moses, do you understand what I'm trying to say? So if you really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what do you have to do, first of all? According to Jesus saying, chapter 6, verse 63. What did he say? What gives life? The flesh doesn't give life. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The very word that I spoke to you, they are Spirit, they are life. Right? So do we need to build our life up with the very Word of God? Do we need to know His Word? Do we? So some people say, oh, I seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit and refuse to study the Scripture. He's just joking. And end up, that's why the Pentecostal church, a lot of people, they say themselves they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're roaring. They're rolling on the floor and roaring. And they say, wow, this is the noise of the Holy Spirit. That is nonsense. I don't see that in the Bible. You are filled with the evil spirit. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm trying to say? How do we measure the church? Whether the church is the church of God or is the church of Satan? How do we measure that? Can someone take a look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 9? Chapter 3, verse 9? Jesus Christ saying to the messenger, saying that the synagogue they are worshiping is not synagogue of God. It's a synagogue of Satan. Not every church. It's a church of Christ. Some church is a church of Satan. If you do not build your church upon the very foundation of the apostle and prophet, very likely that church is not the church of God. We build the church on the very foundation of the Word of God, based upon the teaching of the apostle and prophet. Right beside apostle and prophet, you write down 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. When Peter write the last book, 2 Peter, he say that. He want us to remember what the prophet is saying in the Old Testament. He also wants us to remember what Jesus commanded us to do, which is the preaching, the teaching of the apostle. Can someone read that to me? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. Elton, could you read that? Chapter 3, verse 2. So, Elton?
I want to recall the words spoken. I want what?
I want you
to recall the words spoken in past. In the past by the holy prophets and the spoken. And the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles.
So we build upon the foundations of the prophet and apostle. That means we build upon the teaching of the Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament represent the teaching of the prophet. New Testament represent the teaching of the apostle. Elton, do you know that your friend has been baptized yesterday?
No, not yesterday.
Sunday afternoon. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Eden, are you happy?
Yeah.
So, Etta, is he good in the church?
Starting
good. Well, that's good. It's a good start. I feel proud of you, Eden. Give me 5. So you have to, Eden, you have to follow your classmate.
Okay.
So you memorize the book of Ephesians up to chapter 5.
Yes.
Moses, do you hear that? Up to chapter 5. 10 years later, he will be the pastor. And by that time, you'll be a pastor in the south side, right? All right? So you better listen to me, understand what I say, and then teach them the very word of God. You got that? How old are you now? 8? 5 chapter. Psalm 119, 1 to 176, right? That's very good. Yeah. When I'm your age, I don't even know the Word of God. I don't even know Jesus Christ. I don't know Jesus Christ until I'm 28 years old. Now you're 8 years old. That's very, very good. What about you, Daniel?
Chapter 5, verse 21, and I finished memorizing chapter 6.
So what's chapter 5, verse 18? Do not get drunk on wine.
Do not get drunk on wine and debauchery.
For it leads to debauchery. Wow, man, that's cool, right? Is it impressive? Right? So, you be the north side, right? And Moses and Carl, you want to be in the west side? Pastor? Carl? Work on it now. Okay?
Can you explain 1 Corinthians again?
1 Corinthians where?
6:19. What do you mean it's not sufficient to be marked by the Holy Spirit?
It's not sufficient to be marked by the Holy Spirit is in Ephesians 1:13. Could you read that?
Yeah.
having believed, and we were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. When you hear the gospel and you believe, the moment you believe, you're marked with the Holy Spirit. When you're marked with the Holy Spirit, that means, you know, like when you go to the farm, you look at the sheep and the ox and cow and all that. You see at the and the butt, they have a seal. Because all the sheep, they look the same. What do you mean belongs to you? How do I know it belongs to you? You know, he put that mark in a red hot fire, and then press it in his button, and then with a mark. It's very painful, and that's the ownership. Is that the part you don't understand?
Correct me if I heard wrong, but I thought you said regarding verse 19, you mentioned that...
Verse 19 is individually, you are temple of God.
Yeah, so you said body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, and it's not sufficient that we're marked by the Holy Spirit, we have to be filled by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. It is not the idea. It is not the idea of God for you just belong to God and then you live your own life. Thank you for raising this question. This is a good question. At the back. Do I get a piece of paper, a big one? No, it's okay. I right here. Okay. Carl, I want you to write it down. The reason why I say it's not good enough just to have a mark with the Holy Spirit. That means you belong to God. Okay, I belong to God and then I live my own life. Okay, I belong to my Father, but I don't listen to my Father. I do my own thing. And I become a disobedient child. I don't think that's what my Father's want. My Father want to be like Father, like Son. That is his idea. Being his son is not good enough. That's not what the Bible says. I prove it to you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We walk with the help of the Holy Spirit. You don't just say, I belong to Jesus Christ, and then I live my own life. Could you read that to me, Galatians 5:25? Okay, could you read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18?
Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, instead be filled with the Spirit.
Paul asks us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not in chapter 1, it's in chapter 5, right? And then in chapter 6, what did he say? Put on the full armor of God. Right? Yeah. Clothed with Jesus. Right? Fight the battle. Nowadays, a lot of Christians, they just go to the church, enjoy the worship, the singing and all that, and thinking that they worship God. But in reality, they haven't worshiped God because their life has never been changed. And Jesus said, I don't know you. If your church wasn't built upon the foundations of the apostle and prophet, you will never be able to fill with the Holy Spirit. You are just dreaming. We have to build our life on the Word of God. And then you fill yourself with the Word of God. Colossians 3:16. Could you read that? Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. And as you teach with wisdom and understanding. With all wisdom, with all understanding, because God gives you the power to teach. When you are filled with His word. So that's why each and every one of us, individually and corporately, we have to build our life on the foundations of the Word of God. And we have to let the Word of Christ to be dwelt in us richly, not scarcely. Richly. Could you read that to me? Yeah? You know what? Nowadays, a lot of people, they just go to the church and sing hymns, but they are not moved by the hymns, spiritual song. Why? Because they do not allow the word of Christ richly dwell in their body. So they are not moved when they sing. When you have the word of God richly dwell in you, when you sing spiritual song, you are moved by the song. Your life be changed. Nowadays, a lot of church, they sing short song. I love Jesus, Jesus loved me, and then that's the end of it. He didn't even say how Jesus loved me. So people just know Jesus loved me. But when you ask him, how did he love you? I don't know. I don't know how did he love me.
The word of Christ dwells in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Paul saying in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, we all have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is our goal. And Colossians 3:16, we all have to be filled with the Word of God. Now let me ask you, is that what the church are doing nowadays? Did the pastor ask you, bring your Bible to the church when you worship God? Mark down. Get a highlighter, mark down, write notes. Did he expect you to build your life on the foundations of the apostle and prophet? Or he just care about your offering and the number of people attending? He don't care less whether you understand. He don't care less whether you understand where the Ephesians, where's the book of Galatians, where's the book of Colossians. He don't care less. He get a power overhead power projector. You don't have to flip the page. Did he encourage you to memorize Bible verses at home? Did he teach you in chapter 2, verse 20? All of us corporately and all of us individually, corporately in the church, you have to listen attentively to the word of God so that your life are built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And individually, he expects you to have a daily devotion and read the scripture. Think that you don't understand? Go back to the church and ask your pastor. Same as you go to see a physician, a medical doctor, and tell him you are sick, and then he give you a prescription. You get the prescription and fold in a pack, you know, put in a pocket in the wallet, and you don't even go to the pharmacy to get the prescription, and you don't even take the medication, and you expect to be healed? You expect to get well? Are you kidding me? Are you joking me?
Wow. Yes. Whoa. Whoa. So much.
You get everybody got to memorize it. These one Bible verses for the pizza, okay?
Okay.
Oh, you mean the one who do not memorize one Bible verse. But you cannot use John 3:16, okay? No? Colossians 3:16 is okay? 1 John 3:16, okay? Not John? 1 John? Okay? Ephesians 1:17 is okay? Right? come on. No, okay, stop. Guy, come here. You don't need to memorize that, you can eat, okay? Don't worry, okay? Okay. So, Carl, did I answer your question? Don't be deceived by any false teacher that you go to the church. And having the Holy Spirit mark in you is good enough. If that is the case, I finished chapter 1, verse 14. I don't need to go on in reading anymore. I'm all set to go. Do you understand, Moses? Having marked with the Holy Spirit is not good enough. We need to proceed to be what? To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Am I making myself clear? Now let's stop here to give you an illustration. Do you remember in the four Gospels, you look at the life of Peter? Peter denied Christ Jesus 3 times, right? Why? Because he's scared of death, right? And what happened in the book of Acts? Is he afraid? Is he afraid of dying for Christ? He's not. What's the difference between the four Gospels, Peter, and the book of Acts, Peter? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the bottom line. And that's my teaching. And that's Jesus' teaching. And you know why Jesus can overcome Satan after he was baptized? He said, thus say the word, as it is written. He is so filled with the word of God, and he's so filled with the Holy Spirit. And how can we be overcomer, Carl, if we don't pursue to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the word of God? The first step to be filled with the Holy Spirit is the first step you build your life upon the Word of God. Does that make sense? We don't measure the church by quantity. We measure the church by quality. Are you filled with the Word of God? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? In those days, there's only 12 apostles can change the whole church, can change the whole world. Only 12. Now you have 12,000 people that they don't know word of God. They are not filled with the Holy Spirit. They cannot be used by God. At most, they are like Peter, denied Christ 3 times. Do I make myself clear, Carl?
Yeah.
So we pray. Now, point number 1 to the point number 5. I want you to memorize it, okay? Moses, tell me what's point number 1 to point number 5. And then, in conclusion, by you.
You have to be marked by the Holy Spirit, and then you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you have to...
No. You don't jump the gun. Marked by Holy Spirit, 1:13. Fill the Holy Spirit. I don't even talk about filling the Holy Spirit in that. It's chapter 5, verse 18. What about 1:14, 1:17, 2:21, 2:22?
Like the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit is revelation and wisdom so that you know God better.
What about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3? How do I get to know him first? In the flesh? The flesh doesn't know God, man. The flesh counts for nothing. The Spirit gives life. Gospel of John 6:63, man. Are you trying to deceive me or what? Come on. Oh, wow. Man. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. What did the Bible say? What did Paul say? If you are moved by the Holy Spirit, you will say Jesus is what? You read that. Come on, hey, I don't want your wife to help you. Tell me where's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Come on.
Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
So in other words, with the help of the Holy Spirit, then you will get to know Jesus. In the very onset, right? At the very beginning. And now that you know Jesus, you want to know him better? You need what? You need the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Does it make sense? The Holy Spirit helped me to understand him, understand who Jesus is, and help me to know him better. Okay? He began the word, and he continued to help me. So that's why Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Right? We start to know Jesus, who Jesus is, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and we get to know him better with the help of the Holy Spirit too. All right? Point number four.
Point number four is corporately we are the temple of God.
What does it mean? How do we measure the church?
Based on the foundation of how it's built.
Gabriel, could you help him?
Based on the apostles and prophets of the church.
Based on what?
The apostles and prophets.
Based on the apostles and prophets? Oh, come on. Oh, man. Etta, could you help these two young gentlemen? How do we measure the church?
How much we yield to the Holy Spirit,
man. You guys dreaming or what? You guys, you know. We're waiting for the pizza, you mean? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that utter from his mouth. So corporately, we are temple of God. The entire church, the entire building, the whole building is joined together and rises together to become a temple of God in the Lord. Individually, verse 22, Chapter 2, verse 22, we are also temple of God. So, corporately, the church needed to be built upon the very word of God. If the church are not built upon the very word of God, no way the church become a temple of God. Individually, same thing. We need to build our own life on the word of God. Then we will be filled with the word of God. And we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit too. Joshua, could you tell me the last two points? 221, 22?
221 means that we're built corporately. And 22 is more individually. And 21 is like that we should, the church should be built with the temple of God and the word of God.
Now I want to see how you can apply in your own life. Let's say if every one of us have a daily devotion, we seek to know his will, we seek to know his word, but you come to our church and you refuse to understand God's word. Then what should we do? Do you hear that, Moses? If every one of us grow and you don't grow, that's no good. So we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to understand what is written in the Bible. Help us not just to know the meaning of it, and help us to apply your word in our own life, so that we are built up on this solid foundations of your very word. And eventually we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can live for you and we can die for you. And we will glorify you too. Thank you for justify us, and eventually you're going to glorify us. You have done so much good things in our life. We want to do something for you. And just like what the Gospel of John chapter 14 verse 12 is saying, the thing that you do, we will do greater thing than that. That's what you promise us. Because you're going to fill us with your Holy Spirit and fill us with your word. And I know that you're going to pray for us too when you sit at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. I pray that you continue to bless us, encourage us to study your word, and help us to build our life on the solid foundation, so that when turmoil comes, when trouble comes, when pain comes, when suffering comes, affliction comes, we won't fall, and we will stand firm, and we still witness for you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.